Law and Gospel, the Reformation Solas, the Theology of the Cross, the Means of Grace, Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. I know what it's like. I've been living in my current home for, oh golly, it's got to be 17 years now. It was built brand new. That wasn't that long ago, but boy, things need fixing. Some of it is just cosmetic. Some of it may even be structural. It just takes its toll, time does. And one of the oldest sites in Christian antiquity, going back to, well, at least the 4th century as a site, if not, of course, earlier than that, is the site of Christ's resurrection, or what many believe is the site of Christ's resurrection, now housed in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And they had to do some renovation. They had to do a facelift. There was a lot of work to be done. It's a very, very old place, and it gets a lot of traffic. Joining us to talk about the completed renovation of a shrine in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Dr. Paul Meyer. He's Professor Emeritus of Ancient History at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, author of several books, including In the Fullness of Time, a historian looks at Christmas, Easter, and the early church, Josephus, the Essential Works, Eusebius, the Church History, and his latest publication, the Constantine Codex. Dr. Meyer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be back with you, Todd.
You have been in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre many times. Did it need a facelift and some serious work, so to speak?
Well, yes, the entire structure does, because it's a very old structure from the actual Crusader era on, and especially the aticule, which is supposedly the place where Jesus was buried.
What are we looking at? If you could describe it to us, and when you walk into this church, and then within this church is this shrine of the, basically, of the resurrection or the tomb of Christ.
Well, to most people, it's something of a disappointment because it's not the green hill far away where Jesus suffered on the cross in Golgotha, and very nearby, of course, according to the Gospel of John, was the resurrection tomb. John says there was in the place where he was crucified a new tomb and so on. Now, originally, this was part of the escarpment at the edge of Jerusalem, and Constantine's engineers came along and they cut away Joseph's tomb, which was a normal tomb going into the hillside, and isolated it from its matrix. And then they built a separate rotunda over it. And this was the resurrection area, and they had a separate structure for the Golgotha area. And this was finally joined together by the Crusaders when they joined the two together after 1005 A.D. This is when the mad Egyptian sultan, Hakim, came along and demolished the site. This is why nothing there that you'd see today is actually part of the same material that Jesus would have been in touch with in the tomb. And that's why I can't quite understand the concern today so much over the renovation, although it has to be done.
So we are talking about a site that goes back to antiquity, but not as though you could walk and peer into the tomb as did Peter and John on the day of the resurrection.
Exactly. Many Christians think you can, and they're a little disappointed with the long lines you have to wait to get inside. And when you get inside, you're somewhat disappointed because it looks somewhat more modern. And that's because of the aticule that was built over it.
This is highly, not only trafficked by modern tourists and other interested people, it is an active church, and it's been run over a couple times in the course of this particular piece of geography changing hands, hasn't it?
Indeed it has, and this is the reason that to the present day, I'm surprised they were even able to get together among the various Christian denominations to agree on the renovation of the aticule. Tragic symbol of disunity is the fact that the fellow who keeps the keys to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is not a Christian but a Muslim.
How does that come about?
Well, only because the various Christian groups were scrapping over what their religious area would comprise. And they were overlapping one another and fighting with one another. Just a terrible example of Christian disunity and the results thereof, so that a non-Christian had to be the neutral arbiter there in terms of keeping peace between the Christians.
You also mentioned a site there under the same roof, which would be one of the Golgotha sites. How would you describe that one?
That's a little bit more believable in the sense that you can peer through various openings at the top where indeed the crosses would have stood, and then further down the hillock itself, you have to climb about 20 steps to get up there, which is about the size of what Golgotha would have looked like. And so it's quite convincing that it's the area where Jesus was in fact crucified.
If these two sites, which are obviously, if genuine, very, very important sites, these two sites are among a handful in Jerusalem where we can actually say, Dr. Meyer, this is where it happened, or this is where Jesus did this certain thing. How would you rate these two that fall under the roof of the Holy Sepulchre Church?
Well, I would rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, about an 8th, put it that way, whereas there are other sites that are even more firmly established. For example, where Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate. We can show you the tower there yet that was overlooking the trial of Jesus. That is an absolute 10. There's no question about that. And the way of the cross, and the pool of Siloam, and the pool of Bethesda. Those are all 10s, absolute. And also Hezekiah's tunnel, of course.
So,
the least convincing site, by the way, in Jerusalem, I give that only a 1, and that would be the upper room, because it's still an upper room today, which makes it impossible, because Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt so many times since Jesus' day, and each of the destructions, of course, provides an additional base of layer to rebuild the city, and so when this happens 13 times, you can see why the Jerusalem today is about, anywhere in the city is about 16 to 20 feet higher than it was in Jesus' day.
For the sites under the roof of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, how long have these sites, not necessarily under this church, but how long have they been revered by Christians in that area as the sites of the crucifixion and the resurrection?
Probably ever since Constantine's time, for sure. When Constantine, urged on by his pious mother Helena, came and had his architects and engineers inquire of the Christian bishop of Jerusalem, where was Jesus born and crucified, he was able to point them out immediately on the basis of a living church tradition at that point. And so if the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem is authentic, which we're quite sure it is, so Golgotha would be the same. And the Queen Mother, Helena, was quite a Christian herself and wanted to consecrate all the greatest sites in Jesus' life where the events in the Gospels took place. And so her son followed his mother's lead and did this in 326 A.D.
Does this kind of, it sounds like kind of ancient tourism, if you would, probably not as crass as ours today, does this, for the modern biblical archaeologist, does this help or hinder the task of discovering and maintaining genuine sites connected to the biblical narrative?
Well, just because some sites are claimed and they're proven false doesn't mean anything in terms of whether or not the original miracles or whatever took place at the sites involved. And in many cases, you have to ignore what the guide says, because whenever I take a group to the Holy Land, I have a 1 to 10 scale for authenticity, and while the guide is talking, I will often stand behind him and hold up fingers so my group can see exactly how much is true and ask him not to smile. We'll discuss it that evening at the hotel. But indeed, there are places that are unimpeachable. River Jordan, Mount of Olives, Sea of Galilee, absolutely. Those are tremendously authentic spots, and they give you a tremendous spiritual boost in terms of knowing this is where it did happen 2,000 years ago.
Well, that was my final question for you, really, Dr. Meyer. The benefit, and you've done it many times, but the benefit of actually going and seeing for yourself those sites, some of which are just rock solid in their authenticity. How would you describe that benefit?
Well, it is a big plus. There's no question about that, because to know this is what the geography, this is the way it looked in Jesus' day. Some of the tableaus have not changed at all. For instance, the Sea of Galilee today and that whole area and the mountains surrounding it are very, very much the same as Jesus would have seen 2,000 years ago. And Hezekiah's tunnel, certainly, which goes to the Gihon Spring to the Pool of Siloam, where he cured the blind man, John 10, is exactly the same as it was when it was hewed out. There it is. And so this is the kind of geographical accuracy which helps to authenticate everything and corroborate what is taking place and claimed in the Bible. No question about it.
Dr. Paul Meyer is Professor Emeritus of Ancient History at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. He's author of several books, including In the Fullness of Time, A Historian Looks at Christmas, Easter, and the Early Church, Josephus, The Essential Works, Eusebius, The Church History, and his latest publication, The Constantine Codex. You can purchase these books under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Meyer, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you, Todd. Blessing.
On the other side of the break, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do usually with him early in the week. We'll be looking at the Lord's Supper in Luke chapter 22, a very important account of Christ's institution of the Eucharist. Stay tuned.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211. 452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.